What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 2 of Wake Up. It's been 9 months since the initial episode, so I'm not very consistent, but I promise this is something I'm going to try and change. I've actually now finally got a list of topics that I really want to hammer. I've been traveling and working for the last 9 months a lot, but I think it's time I finally actually got some of this stuff out there. I think a big part of the reason is I've got like something like 90 draft blogs sitting in my Medium, and I figured it's going to be easier for me to do some videos than it is going to be for me to sit here and pump out 90 blogs. Although I will try and keep, so the things that where I need to dig a little bit deeper and, you know, link and do all that sort of stuff, I'm still going to do it in a blog. So I guess the premise of this whole, I don't know if we're going to call it a podcast, a channel, whatever the hell we want to call it, is going to be for me to rant with my usual streams of consciousness about different things. Primarily, obviously, Bitcoin being the thing that I'm, you know, really passionate about, but, you know, alongside liberty, personal sovereignty, you know, critical thinking, economics, and how all of these things come together, sociology, philosophy, anthropology, like there's heaps of topics that I'm interested in. And what I really love about Bitcoin is it's kind of this intersection of all of these topics. So I've got a bunch here, but the one that I'm going to talk about in episode 2 here is called discrimination and diversity, and the fact that I support both. Episode 2, I support both. So discrimination and diversity. So there's the world we're currently in at the moment. You know, we see a lot of stupid laws being put out by the social justice warriors of the world and the leftists and all the people who believe that being politically correct is important. You know, enacting things like anti-discrimination laws, and, you know, all these minorities are standing up saying that we're being discriminated against and all this sort of stuff. Whilst at the same time trying to tell people that, you know, you have to have diversity and all this sort of stuff. Now, I want to make a point that that discrimination and diversity go hand in hand. They're two peas in a pod. And, you know, in fact, discrimination is at the core of diversity. So if we look at the definition of discrimination, you know, the ability to discern, the ability to tell apart, to differentiate between two things, and our ability as human beings, as living creatures on this planet, is really hinges upon this idea of being able to discriminate between different things. You know, for example, I mean, I don't like the color pink on a car, or polka dots or something like that. So, you know, I'll discriminate, you know, along different lines. In fact, my favorite colors for a vehicle are white and black. In fact, if you look at my wardrobe, it's practically white and black. So, you know, it goes across my my preference for clothing, for furniture, for vehicles, for all sorts of stuff. But you know, for me, I think it's such a there's a deeper thing here about discrimination and diversity that I really want to touch on, because the crazies on the left who always want to talk about you know, diversity and forcing that upon people as a mandate, as opposed to a voluntary self-selection process, you know, really don't understand how human dynamics work. Number one, they can't seem to think beyond first or second order consequences. It's like, okay, you force everybody to, you know, if you start to allow people to enforce anti-discrimination laws based upon some definition of minority, you can create a minority on so many lines, on so many points of differentiation that that the ability to discern rightfully discriminate, i.e. make a fucking decision, is going to disappear. You know, people are going to have to hire people for reasons outside of merit. And as soon as we start doing that in a society, we start to build hierarchies of incompetence, or we start to build structures that no longer have a resemblance to competence, which is a natural rebalancer in systems. You know, if we don't build structures of competence, we build the opposite, which ultimately become fragile and fall over, and we have the wrong people in the wrong places. This is how bureaucracies work, and this is how bureaucracies grow and decay. Now, you know, maybe these systems that choose to deviate from nature are also subject to their own natural decay, because the more you optimize for stuff outside of competence and merit and, you know, productivity and alignment and direction and all this sort of stuff, the more you create kind of like a Frankenstein's monster of an organization or a system or a society. There's this notion of equality, and I know, you know, people like Jordan Peterson have talked about the difference between equality of outcome and equality of opportunity. I'm not sure equality of any kind can really exist, because to have equality of opportunity, somehow people need to start from the same basis, which I don't know how you do that in a practical world, which is currently, you know, very unequal. You know, you have to start from somewhere. And what do? We nuke everyone and start again? I don't think that equality of opportunity in many ways is even realistic, because I've fundamentally been a big believer of the notion of equality of opportunity. Equality of outcome obviously is the most moronic thing, and if you're a person who believes in equality of outcome, I don't know what's going through your mind. I mean, by creating a system that drives towards giving everyone the same reward at the level of outcome, you create disincentives to be good, and you create incentives to be lazy, mediocre, poor, useless, etc. Because you know that there's no reason for you to have to do anything, because you're going to get the same reward as the person who does everything. And then the person who does everything then starts to question, why the fuck should I have to do everything, put more effort, put more energy, produce more, create more, when I'm not going to be rewarded for it. So this is, again, one of those natural rebalancings. The more we deviate away from organic, natural incentive disincentive systems, the more we create systems that just don't function, that end up, cannibalizing themselves in a sense. So equality as a notion, which is, we believe in equality, we believe no one should be discriminated against and everyone should be treated equally. Equality on what level? I think everyone should be given, obviously, the shot to prove themselves from a meritocratic standpoint, from a standpoint of how much value they can add, you know, what they can do, etc. To try and force everybody to be the same, to try and eliminate something like discrimination, is to try and basically, you know, force equality on people. And by doing that, I think what a lot of people don't realize is you actually eliminate diversity, because you start to force everybody to behave the same, to look and feel the same. You start to create these monocultures. You start to create these homogenous blobs that perhaps look like North Korea, or you know what the communists tried to do, or you know fundamentally what the Nazis and the Stalinists wanted to do. They demanded that everybody be the same, that everybody be equal, irrespective of their ability. You know that they wanted to go with moving away from ability and moving towards want or need, and that want or need was then decided upon by a collectivist organization who apparently knew better than what the individual knew. I guess another point that I've got written here in my random notes is can there be some unwanted side effects of allowing discrimination to occur voluntarily? Because look, some people are going to discriminate, and guess what? They're going to discriminate based on things like, hey, I don't like this guy because he's Asian. Or I don't like this guy because he's fat. Or I don't like this guy, or you know, I don't like this person because she's a chick. Or whatever the reason might be. Now, these things might happen on a local basis. You know, discrimination, being able to discriminate at the state level, at the collectivist level, that by you know that is very dangerous. And we saw what happened when you know that's happened. Whether it's the socialist uprisings as communists, as Nazis, as fascists and all this. They're all socialist things, by the way. They're all collectivist, fundamentally. When that happens, when the state, when the collectivists are able to discriminate, that can become very dangerous. But on an individual level, on a local level, it's actually not very dangerous because, I'll give you an example. Let's say a woman walks in to apply for a job, and she is super skillful. She's got the experience, she's got the skills, she's got the ability to execute on the role. And the douchebag that's doing the hiring, let's say he's a misogynist or whatever we're going to label him with these days, you know, sexist or whatever the term is now. If this person goes ahead and doesn't hire this woman because of that discriminatory act of his. Now, in a voluntary society, he's perfectly able to do that. If he wants to make that decision, go for it. Now, let's think about who actually loses here. Number one, does that woman want to work in an environment like that with that kind of person as a boss? Well, probably fucking not. You know, I don't know why anyone would want to degrade themselves to work with somebody who doesn't like them just because of their fucking sex or color or race or whatever the case might be, right? So first and foremost, that person who may be the manager or even the owner of the business, if they can't think in terms of merit, if they can't think in terms of economic value, which economic value has no understanding of color, race, gender, or any of that garbage. Economic value is just a measure of the output of someone's time and energy. And whether that person's black, green, orange, hermaphrodite, man, woman, child, that doesn't matter. So the presupposition here that someone's going to discriminate on that shows that the person who's in the role to make the hiring decision is a person who can't operate or can't think economically. Now, that from a business perspective doesn't give that person a very long life, whether as a manager or an owner of a department or as an owner of a business. They're not gonna function well. So the detriment is actually to them. So by allowing them to voluntarily discriminate, you have a situation on a local and an individual basis. Again, remembering that we're not talking about allowing discrimination on a collectivist national status basis. You actually have the positive effect. You have the free market means that the person who didn't get the job will have the opportunity to go find something where they're happy, where they're valued for their merit, for their productive capacity, for their skill, whilst the clown who wants to discriminate and hire, I don't know, a white male, or whatever the fuck they want to hire, they're going to hire someone for all the wrong reasons, most likely, unless they get lucky and they hire someone for that reason, but who can also produce. And hey, you know, you can't remove luck out of the equation. You know, luck is a thing. Randomness, you know, just happens in the universe, and we can't remove that from the equation. You have victims of randomness, and you have lucky fools of randomness, who, you know, get by in life, and somehow seem to avoid all the catastrophes that happen to other people who work hard, do the right thing, and somehow get unlucky. And that's a factor that we can't, A, we can't model for, B, we can't plan for, and C, we should never try and remove from the equation, because that's just a part of natural, organic life. In fact, that's where a lot of the beauty comes from, is this idea of randomness. So coming back to, you know, the good and the bad, in a society that is voluntary, in a society where, you know, the market is able to choose, in a society where the individuals, let's even take away the market, you know, the market is just a collection of individuals, where the individuals are able to choose, allowing, like, not having to mandate anti-discriminatory laws is actually how you build diversity. You actually have an opportunity for people to come together based on their preferences, because in order to have a preference, you have to be able to discriminate. Simple as that. You cannot have a like, the definition of having a preference is choosing one thing over another, which is the definition of discrimination. So we should be allowed to freely discriminate and have a preference on the things that we want to do. We should have full liberty to do that on an individual basis. Again, so long as we're not impacting somebody's personal private property, you know, so long as we're not damaging somebody or doing something to them. And you get a system where, yeah, look, some things are going to be unfair. Some people are not going to have, you know, the same opportunity or whatever. But that kind of starts to rebalance over time. And like I said, the people who are meritocratic, who are producers, who are value, who are contributors of value, they will find their way to being appreciated, because you end up creating a society where what's valued and what's rewarded is productive capacity, contribution, etc. And that's then going to be the kind of people who rise up in the ranks. You build a meritocracy in that sense. You don't build a politicized infrastructure where the focus, as opposed to being on merit, is about trying not to fucking offend people based on which minority they decide to label themselves with or side with today. You end up creating, the latter creates a system of fear and walking on eggshells and political correctness and whatever other, non-logical, non-meritocratic system that they want to operate with. So, I guess, you know, if you want a free and diverse society, you need to allow for discrimination to be freely chosen at the individual level. And as always, advocate, we need to break apart large nation states. We need to move down to state and even city level infrastructure, where, you know, all people in societies, you know, at a maximum of 10, 20, 40, 50, 100,000 people, you know, come together and voluntarily come into groups. But that's a whole other topic. I think diversity and discrimination are extremely important things. I think they go hand in hand. I think that collectivist state level discrimination and forced diversity, which is actually creating the opposite, it's creating homogeneity, which is the opposite of diversity, is fucking madness. And I think it's the path to rewarding the wrong elements and incorrectly disincentivizing things. Whereas if we allow people to make free choice and you know, move to more of a world that works on sound economics as opposed to politicized economics, we start to create a fairer world. Because you know, I think what we really all want, and I think this is, I'll leave this as a topic for another discussion, is fairness, not equality. I think equality is a pipe dream. It's practically impossible unless we nuke the world and start again, number one. Number two, trying to optimize for equality of outcome is madness, because then you skew the natural incentive, disincentive structure for human collaboration amongst people. So that, and that doesn't work. We've seen how well that worked with gulags and concentration camps and everything else like that. And yeah, but fairness, and this is again why I love Bitcoin so much, is it actually, without nuking the existing system and killing anyone, with a non-violent approach, it starts from scratch on a new economic foundation and allows people to participate voluntarily, again, on a set of rules that everyone abides by should they voluntarily choose to opt in to operate on this financial network. And again, you cannot have a society, you cannot have a collection of individuals collaborating without a common economic language, without the ability for people to transact, without the ability for people to store or transact their labor, which is in effect what money and what the function of money is. So that's another topic, another rabbit hole, which I'll dig into on a subsequent episode. So I hope you like this. I think it's an important nuance. I know the trolls are going to probably come out and say, oh yeah, but you know, I'll try and answer some questions. In fact, I'm going to leave the comments open. So it might be an opportunity for me to get some more material for further videos. But if you enjoyed this, subscribe it, like, share on Twitter. I think I'm primarily on Twitter, so you know, you'll see my handle in the show notes below. But again, thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. And I'm going to try to pump out a bunch of episodes in the coming weeks on all sorts of topics. I might give you a little teaser on some of the topics. So I want to talk about politics as poison and economics as a cure. I want to take a stab at bullshit brands who are sycophantically sucking up to you and trying to be used car salesmen using whatever hashtag is trendy, like Black Lives Matters at the moment. I want to talk about hypocrites on the left and on the right. I want to talk about choosing freedom or choosing safety and what to optimize for in a society. I want to talk about, I want to bash the equality thing a little bit more, because I think I've got a note here that says equality is an ideal for slavery. And it's an important thing that I think we need to really dig into. And then I obviously want to talk a little bit about collectivism versus individualism and a bunch of other topics. So again, thank you. Appreciate you listening. Share it, like it, do whatever you do on the socials, and I'll see you next episode.